continue with Words for Life, a series of Christian sermons by ministers in the southern suburbs of Melbourne. Today our speaker is Reverend David Sterry of Beaumaris Mordialloc Baptist Church.
Well, as we continue in our series on the holy habits, walking as Jesus walked, we come today to, and each of them are standalone ones, so whether you've tuned in or been a part of the other ones or not, today is one within that overall umbrella, but is a standalone one. And last month, at the Baptist Union Day for Pastors that I was at, one of the pastors used a phrase that I'd never heard before, but that stuck with me. The art of plodding. The art of plodding. Plodding isn't exactly the first thing that comes to mind, perhaps, when you think of a holy habit, or when you think of something that we need to develop in our lives and in our faith. But in reality, to plod is to persevere, In reality, to plod is to slowly and surely and steadfastly continue on in what God has called us to in life and in faith. Now, you won't find the actual word plod anywhere in the Bible, but what you do find is lots of references to walking the Christian life. And what you also find is lots of references to perseverance. Perseverance is spoken of frequently as an essential part of the Christian walk. And 1 Timothy chapter 6 is one of those. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says this. When we think about what we're looking at today, it says, "But you, man or woman of God, flee from all of this and pursue what? Pursue righteousness. Pursue godliness, pursue faith, pursue love, endurance, and gentleness." So it talks about righteousness and godliness and faith and love and gentleness, and we recognize all of those things as really important in Christian life and faith. But it also says pursue endurance or perseverance. And just to make sure of it, we can look at many other passages, but another one of those is 2 Peter chapter 1, where we looked at this a number of weeks ago at the start of this series. It says, "For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith these things: goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance." And to perseverance, and then it goes on to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. So the art of plodding, or the art of persevering, or the art of steadfastly continuing on in what God has called us to in life and faith is essential when you look at God's word. It's something that's weaved right through there. And in the reading that Lynn read to us from the book of Isaiah, God's people were finding the going tough. They had lost their land. They had lost their king. Everything was unfamiliar to them. Everything seemed different. Everything was different to the normal and what they'd been used to. And they'd lost a whole lot more that was a part of their identity as God's people. They were in unfamiliar territory in every way. And what was the case for them was that this unfamiliar territory seemed to go on and on and on. And there was no definite sense in their lives or in their hearts or in their minds of whether or when faith and life would be more like they were used to. So I wonder, in different times and in different ways, if there's similarities to the place that we find ourselves at, where life is quite different and life is quite difficult and what it means to be God's people is quite different and quite difficult in the times that we're in through these times. But God speaks to us right where we're at. And just as he spoke to his people long ago through Isaiah, and he encourages us amongst other things, the art of plodding or persevering. So what can we learn from these verses that Lynn read to us that will help us to develop the habit, the holy habit of holy plodding, as I call it, in our lives and faith? Well, the first thing we can learn is how important it is to be reminded about God. Verses 27 and 28, as Lynn read to us, says, "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. Now, the people that God was, the people that Isaiah was speaking to knew when it says, do you not know? Have you not heard about God? They did know about God. They had heard about God. They weren't unfamiliar to who God was and what God was like. But they needed to hear it again. And it was important for them to be reminded about God and who God was and what God was like over and over again. Michelle and I have an artist friend in Tasmania. I have some of her paintings in my office, actually. And when we visited her from time to time and when we've seen in her little studio, what we've seen is a picture taking shape. There's different pictures, but the one that she might be working on at that particular point of time, we see a picture taking shape. All of us along the road of life and faith need to keep building our picture of God, of what God is like, of who God is. And that's what Isaiah was doing here. He was reminding God's people about not just their creator, but their God. In the midst of wondering what was going on, in the midst of them wondering why things were as they were, in the midst of them even wondering if God and expressing if God had forgotten about them, what they needed most was to be reminded about God, their God. The same is true for us. You may be overwhelmed by your circumstances. You may be overwhelmed by the times we live in, and may have a sense of when is this ever going to end? What is going on? And struggling with that. But God is not overwhelmed or unfamiliar with what's going on, because He is, as Isaiah says, the everlasting God. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. He is someone who will not grow tired or weary. He has understanding far greater than we have. I wonder today, do you need to be reminded afresh about this God, about your God, about our God? Do you need to keep building your picture of who God is and what God is like, even in the midst of these times? Doing that is so important in life and faith, because ultimately, it's this God who our confidence is in. It's this God who cares for us. It's this God who we need to come back to over and over again to keep on persevering or plodding in our walk with God. It's this God who is able to complete the work that He has begun in our lives. And the book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it reminds us that it's God's work. It says, being confident of this, He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We need to keep coming back to who God is. We need to keep coming back to the promises of God. We need to keep being reminded that it's this God who is able to complete the work that He has begun in our lives. It's this God who is not only the creator, but our everlasting God, who has all wisdom and understanding in ways that we don't. It's important to be reminded about God, but following on from that, it's also important to be renewed by God. Reading on in Isaiah, into verse 29, says, and reference has already been made to this a number of times in the service today, He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. I wonder if you can identify with any of this. I'm sure you can, because I can. Can you identify with feeling weary? Can you identify with feeling weak? God's people long ago must have. They clearly did. And we can still today. Life can wear any of us out. Even the strongest of us, which is what verse 30 refers to when it says even youths grow tired and weary, even young men stumble and fall. That's basically saying that even those that might appear to be the strongest, even those that might appear to be less worn out, can be worn out, can grow weary. Life can do that to any of us, and any of us can feel weak, even if we'd rather not feel weak. And even if we'd rather be in a different place to that. But when we are weary or when we are weak,
What we need more than anything else is what God promises here, to renew us. He promises to give strength to the weary, to increase the power of the weak. And the word in the original language for renew literally means, in the original Hebrew language, it literally means to exchange. So that means that when we come before God with a sense of weariness, what is God able to do? He's able to exchange our weariness for his rest. And Jesus himself speaks of this in words that may be familiar to you, very familiar to you, but again, we need reminding of Matthew chapter 11. Jesus says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Come to me, Jesus says, with your weariness, with your burdens, and I will give you rest. So what is God able to do? He's able to exchange our weariness for his rest. But when we come before God, not just with a sense of weariness, but perhaps with a sense of weakness, what is God able to do? He's able to exchange our weakness for his strength or his power, which is what Paul speaks of in 2 Corinthians, and Paul refers specifically to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, "He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" It's an amazing concept. It's an amazing principle. It's an amazing truth that even in the midst of our weakness, God is able to come and do what only God can do and exchange our weakness for his strength and his power in ways that we can't fully understand. But what a wonderful promise and what a wonderful resource we have in that. So I wonder, how might you have a sense of weariness or a sense of weakness at the moment? How might you need to look to or wait upon God, to be renewed by God, who is able to exchange your weariness with his rest, exchange your weakness for his empowering? But as we get to the pointy end of these verses here in Isaiah, what we discover is important, what they show us that's important is the importance of being reminded about God, being renewed by God, but they also show us the importance of realizing how we grow in God. The last part of verse 31, words again that you've heard perhaps before, "They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Now, I don't know about you, but for most people, what catches most people's attention and what gets most of the focus in this verse is the soaring on wings like an eagle's bit. That's at the start. And sometimes the other bits get forgotten. But what you need to understand is that in the original language this was written in, it's a triplet form of Hebrew poetry, where the most important part is actually not what comes first, but the most important part comes at the end. And so what we read and what we hear from God here starts, not finishes, with the soaring part. And what does it instead finish with as the pinnacle or as the most important part? It's the walking and not fainting, or the plodding. Now, we might want to soar most of the time, but in reality, the Christian life is about most of the time walking. Most of the time it's about plodding. Most of the time it's about persevering. By comparison to soaring or even running, walking or plodding might seem a bit mundane, but there's no shortcuts to growing in God to become more like Jesus. There's no shortcuts to instant maturity available on this earth. And it's in and through the walking, it's in and through the plodding that God does his greatest work. Our growth in God actually comes through keeping on going even when we might not feel like we're getting far. Through keeping on going even when it involves struggles and setbacks and slow progress. So I want to ask the question again this morning. I wonder, have you learnt the art or the holy habit of plodding or persevering in your walk with God? Some of you have been following Jesus for many years, and you would understand, you would have learnt that it's a long haul. It's not a sprint, the Christian life. It's not easy or effortless. But the art or the holy habit of plotting or persevering in your walk with God through the ups and downs, through everything that comes your way, is essential to receiving all for that God has for us. Hebrews puts it this way. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, in Hebrews, at the end of chapter 10, verse 36, it says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Persevering or plotting is essential to receiving all that God has for us in our lives on this earth and beyond. But more than that, it's essential to fruitfulness as followers of Jesus. And Jesus speaks of that in Luke chapter 8 in the Gospels. Luke chapter 8 in the parable, parables there, the parable of the sower. Luke chapter 8 verse 15, the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, who retain it, and then what? By persevering, produce a crop. In other words, fruitfulness in our lives as followers of Jesus that doesn't come straight away. It doesn't come instantly. It comes over time. It comes through persevering. It comes through when a crop is planted. It might not seem like it's growing fast. Might not seem like much is happening. But over time, it can come to be. And that's the same with fruitfulness in the Christian life. As God works in us and through us, over time, our faith is able to be developed, and we're able to grow to be more and more of who Jesus has for us to be. We're able to become fruitful followers of Jesus. It's essential, this sense of persevering or plotting or steadfastness for our faith being developed under God. And the book of James, and just another example that reminds us of this. James chapter 1 verse 4 says, you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Following Jesus, as I said, isn't for the short term, it's for the long haul. Following Jesus is for in the midst of the ordinary as well as the extraordinary. Following Jesus is about the routine as well as the remarkable. Following Jesus is about the everyday as well as the exciting. Following Jesus is about the valleys as well as the mountaintops. It's about the desert times as well as the times of delight. So as I close, what aspects of life or faith do you need? Is God calling you to plod or persevere in? Is God calling you to keep on keeping on in this week as a part of God's work of growth in your life? What aspects of life or faith might you need renewing in by God, where you might be weary or weak? What aspects of life or faith do you need to be reminded about the God who hasn't forgotten you, but who, or your situation, but who is the everlasting God, both your creator and your sustainer? Wherever you're at today, literally and metaphorically, whether you're on site or whether you're online, whether you're in the place you want to be at or whether you're at a place that you don't want to be at, in life or faith, I invite you to come before God afresh. In this space and in this time now of prayer, and then as we go into a response in singing as well, to allow God to do what only God to do, to encourage you, to enable you, and then to lead into that song, Everlasting God, Strength Will Rise.
Words for